Welcome to the Well Rested Woman podcast series. I'm Karen Brody. The delicious conversation you're hearing today was previously recorded live and will begin after the bell. Hello, Bold Tranquility Women. It's January 13th, 2015, and this is a live call with Elisa Starkweather, a call to help you stand up and say, I'm all in on your big dream. I'm all in whatever way that means to you. This call is part of our Well Rested Women podcast series on iTunes and also part of what looks to be our annual Women Dream Experience to really help every woman on this planet start off 2015 deeply centered in the truth of who you are, your true nature, which is why ultimately beyond the deep breath and resetting of our nervous systems, we do yoga nidra meditation here at Bold Tranquility to remember who you are, to point you back to your true nature. So welcome. It's time to get out of your own way, remember what you already know, and really dream big. I mean it. Before we dive into a delicious conversation with Elisa, I want to introduce this wild woman to you. Anyone who knows Elisa, which I've had the pleasure to get to know, is both a colleague in the women's movement building arena, as well as personally through a really wonderful program she runs called Priestess Path. Elisa is a welcomer. I would call you her welcomer of that concept that we talk about a lot at Bold Tranquility, which is holding everything just as it is. You know, how can we as women hold it all, not do it all, hold it all, the light, the dark, the joy, the trauma, the coming together and the falling apart. How can we dream big in a world that has a lot of intense energy, right? Whether it's a personal story you have that feels big, or it's a connection to, you know, world or community issues. Elisa's sweet spot, I feel, is helping women navigate through these waters to see the light at the top of the staircase and be brave to walk up those stairs. That's Elisa, your guide, your mentor to get there. The whisper saying, you can do this, you know, like a midwife, really. I see Elisa as a midwife. Professionally, she's known for some really big ways she gathers women to help them believe in themselves. Gatherings like Women in Power, Priestess Path, which I just mentioned. And she is the founder of the Red Tent Temple movement. She has literally helped women reclaim this ancient art of women gathering together, believing in themselves on a deep soul level. So I'm really thrilled and honored that she's joining us today to have a conversation about the dream and how we as women can lead, not exhaust ourselves. That's the old paradigm of leadership. I've done that one. I'm sure you have too. But I'm really talking about how to dream in a way that leads you to do things in the world that express your true nature, to not exhaust yourself, but to really deeply express that truth of who you are. And this month, Women Dream 2015 has been helping so many women create your sankalpa, your deep vow and heartfelt commitment for 2015. That's what a sankalpa is. And to really use it while doing yoga nidra, a sleep-based meditation technique that we use at Bold Tranquility as our muse to help you wake up. So why is the sankalpa so important? It's because it's time to go deeper than a resolution, because setting a heartfelt intention helps you dream big, right? And today, more than ever, we really need women fully awake and dreaming big. So Elisa, welcome to Bold Tranquility. So happy you're here.
Karen, I'm so happy to be here, too. Hi, everyone on the call and who'll be listening later. This is an incredible time to be a woman who is dreaming and who is awake.
Yes, yes, yes. I already have my hands up and shaking in the yes position, the big yes. And I want to just start off talking about dreams. So, you know, since a third of our life is spent asleep, and, of course, we have more than just sleeping dreams, and I know you're going to talk about that, too. So I want to talk about dreaming in every sense, but it seems really critical for us to honor how important dreams are for our soul. And, you know, so many women don't remember their dreams. I know I go through this, you know, I've gone through this at times in my life, but when I stop remembering my dreams. So what is dreaming? Why is it important? How do we wake up to our dreams? You can even throw in some waking dreams, you know, all of it.
Well, the first thing right now, just in terms of looking at dreams, let's erase you sleeping at night and just look around you. Everything that you're looking at right now, whether you're looking out a window or you're in the mountains or in the desert, wherever you are, this is in itself life. In its mystery, its mysticalness, nature, is itself a kind of dream that we're having collectively and that we're having together. And so waking up here first on the waking side of things to look around and to see what kind of dream am I having? Am I having a dream that I'm loving being in, or I'm having a dream that I'm challenged in, or you know, things that are going on, or am I having a nightmare in the waking side of my life? So when we go into a place where we're really opening the doors into our psyche, into the deeper places that are picking up information and understandings, knowledge, where there's even ancestral ties from behind us, all that's ever been lived and what will be lived, those kinds of symbols and very archetypal meanings become a place that can be giving us wisdom and information when we're paying attention. So it becomes a very sad thing when people wake up and they are so they come so fast into this part of the dream that they are not able to maybe see what was whispering to them in the night side of the dream. And from that place, there is stages with the dream. It's what kind of environment are we in? What kind of landscape when we're dreaming? What do we see around us? What do we sense around us? And then there's usually some kind of situation arising, some kind of challenge or way that something is mounting there. And then out of that, it might even be a crisis mounting or something that's beginning to happen in the dream that causes us to feel very engaged with the landscape itself. And then usually the dream will have some kind of resolve in it. And when it doesn't have that resolve, when you wake up and you know it was building in its crisis and it had no resolve, then that usually ends up being a nightmare for us because it had no resolve. But being able to look at each parts of those places in the dream gives us a way to say, if all these parts were ourselves, if we owned them from ourselves, the symbols, the archetypes, the message, the storyline, whatever might be there in that surround, if it was you, what would it be saying to us? What does it mean to us? What does it bring up for us? What is it attempting to get our attention about? And oddly, with dreams, you can actually go from any part in the time zone. So if you're someone who's a dreamer, you might have had the experience of dreaming something that hasn't even happened yet, and it will happen. That it's like a future dream, which then really, you know, has us wonder, wow, what kind of dream are we in if what you dreamt a year ago, 5 years ago, a month ago, is actually unfolding on this side of the dream?
I used to have that a lot as a child. Mm-hmm. I had that a lot. And that's an interesting kind of dream, isn't it? It feels almost, I don't know, unnerving maybe, mm-hmm. and comforting at the same time.
Yes. Well, it's certainly there's a lot to unlearn so that we can really be with the large. I mean, speaking about the big dream, just the large life that is calling our name. And so when we wake up not remembering our dreams, it's not that you haven't had a dream. It's not that you're not capable of dreaming. A lot of times, just as much waking up is needed in the waking life, in the sleeping life, And also in the ways that you're so good at bringing forward for women's lives in the resting place. And I like to think of remembering my dreams much like I would going fishing. You know, I need to sort of, not that I actually fish, but, you know, that I wake up and then I sort of think, if I can grab a single image and then I just stay there with it and see what else I can pull up from my subconscious until it starts to all come back out.
And so women who can't remember their dreams, what would you say? Because, you know, I've gone through periods of that. And, you know, we say, I really want to remember my dreams.
Yeah, the first thing I would say is get some sleep.
Because, yeah.
You know, if we really are in need of sleep, there's different stages. And if some of you've noticed, I tend to get up pretty early in the morning. But if there's a time ever that I can sleep later in the day, those are the times that I'm likely to remember more of my dreams. And it's because I've had more rest, and so my sleep cycle is now on a different route, and it's right in the perfect place that I'm picking up those dreams. So, yes, definitely the melatonin begins to often be more available to us if we can get to bed before 10 o'clock at night. And if there's a way that you have a certain amount of time to actually rest. Otherwise, you might just go into just a very, very, very deep sleep. Or sometimes our medications or things that we might be on in our lives will cause us to kind of blank out a little bit because we go to a different cycle of our sleeping.
So, you know, what you said when you first started talking that, you know, about, it felt like you were really saying that we're always in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one way to look at it. You know,
I mean,
I think what we really are is, rather than saying this is what I know, is I think what we are in, from my belief, is that we're in the mystery. We're in a very deep mystery. And so when we get to the place where we think we know, oh, I know what this is, and I know who I am, and I know what my life is, and I know what's going on here, and then there's so many layers and sublayers, and that's, of course, where there's great magic and mystery of what don't we know. And, you know, how can we explore into what is transpiring in our life from maybe a more mystical vantage. And from here, this is where it gets really wonderfully interactive, is that when you are moving in your life to manifest things or bring yourself towards what you want to have happen, you can start to see symbols and images and real-life things that start to actually enter this part of the waking dream. And so that's why it's very important that we are mindful, I think, in some ways, of how do we want this part of the dream to look? And how can, you know, and when it comes to the larger aspect of us, what is our collective dream together? I mean, I think right now we've basically, when it's sort of like the dreamers run away without knowing, like without being awake to the dream, that in some ways that we're dreaming a nightmare right now, because we need to shift the collective larger dream.
Yeah, wow, that really resonates with me deeply, you know. And when you say, how do we want the dream to look, and what's the collective dream? I mean, I think if everyone listening just thinks about that in our own lives and the world, those are pretty big things to consider. Those are important. You know, it seems this is the moment to consider that.
I know that we're on the subject of dreams right now, and in the lucid dream, you would be awake inside of your dream. And this has happened to me many times in my lifetime, where I wake up inside the dream, where I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming right now. And then I gain a little bit of, not total, but I gain a little bit more management of what I want to have happen next, and what's going to happen, where I want to go, and what I'm going to do. Getting a little bit more in the driver's seat of my dreamer self. And if you are listening to the call and you want to just raise your hand up to your eyes and look at your hand, it's like you're conscious. It's like you're looking at your hand. And that, you know, just like in a dream, you're looking at your hand. Just so many times we're looking at things in the dream. And then you might, you know, be be right here. This is your hand. And then all of the things. Who is this hand? What are the lines in your hands? It's like being awake to your own presence, your own palm, your own print, right? Your ancestors are here, right here in the DNA code. You're just one hand. We're not looking into your eyes or your iris. We're just like waking up to like, this is my hand. Because otherwise we just carry along our bodies. We don't even stop to see this vessel, this temple that we're walking in. So just start with your own hand, you know, bringing it up, waking it up, like, wow, okay, these are the lines. Do you know them? Have you really looked at them? If you were, would you recognize your own hand if it was away from your body? If it was in a nighttime dream and you saw a hand, would you recognize? Oh, this is my hand.
Right? Would you recognize yourself? Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I'm a big action girl, and I've always loved talking action, but I want to really define big dream because, quite honestly, I don't love the word big. I'm an introvert and have always dealt with crippling burnout and exhaustion, which is why I started Bolt Tranquility, because I know how easy it is to pull the covers over our heads as women for years because we're so exhausted and just done with trying to be big. So dreaming big could sound like this pressure to do a lot, to have this big vision that includes holding too much. I know you and I are on the same page with a lot of our commitment to activism and also to preserving self, being a woman who is good to herself. There's no perfection here, but, you know, we're on that journey. I just really love to hear what dreaming big means to you.
Thank you. I am so grateful for your knowing to take the time to examine what big actually means to us. Because I think here, big has also is also the possibility of where our own wounding can take place. And what I mean by that is that if we're not feeling worthy, or we're not feeling enough, which is common. I've been working with women for 30 years, so it's common sometimes to have that, that collective and separate place of maybe I'm not enough. Then sometimes the remedy or the healing for that looks like being more, or to expand out, or to challenge yourself, or to risk, or you know, all those things are inherent in the journey of the big dream and being big. And yet at the same time, when we go out in the world and we want to accomplish something to be worthy of that dream, to be, excuse me, this is my throat and it's usually really clear, but I've been drinking water and just in our household we're working through throat things, so hold on.
Yeah, please take a sip.
Yep,
it's winter, too.
Yeah, it's winter. We have two wood stoves going.
Oh, wow.
So in this place of looking at big, it's to acknowledge first, I think, that you are enough and that whatever you have placed in your intention, your sankalpa, likely it aligns with something that already always has lived in your heart. It's so rather than sort of building a new structure or have architecture for a new life, you are actually returning. It's like a homecoming for the greatness and the magnificence and the beauty that you were born with. And so when big becomes something that you're stretching yourself into something to prove yourself, it becomes a place where there's a possible wounding to happen. But if big is something that you are remembering about your original nature, around your own strengths and gifts and beauty and vision, and that you're moving in this mystery, in this magic that we call our lives, in this beauty that is both horrific and difficult and challenging and just so astounding and wondrous, when you're moving in that, then big here isn't really about changing into something else. It's more becoming what you're intended to be here when you release yourself from any lies, from any cultural ties or lies or any kind of imprints or stories or patterns that have you living less than what you are here to be. And this is something that I hope you take heart, that we are doing collectively. It's my belief that we've had thousands of years of oppression with women, and this is the time of the rising of the sacred feminine. And as you were talking, Karen, about being sort of someone helping people up the stairs, I thought to myself, oh no, I think I help women down the stairs. Because there's a descent that we're all inside of, and it's not a falling or falling into or a depression. It's rather a deep look in, a deep look down and in. And a just like, you know, I asked you to look at your hand, it's like to look down and in to your heart, to where you've planted this, and to recognize, wow, there's already a mirrored seed here. Or there's already a garden or forest here. And then from there, that place where you know that it's always been there, you know that there's something in you that never forgot, no matter what you went through, no matter what took you down in life, no matter how hard it's been, what traumas you've been, that it's this anchoring into you in the place of waking up to the you that is holding ground even through everything, and that it's a return to. And then from there, that the if it's the, up the stairs, then it's the rise. It's the rise into the knowing, but with the roots anchored down into the truth of everything you've lived through, both the hardships and the glories. So big becomes a natural expression and a responsibility, really, of how it feels to be alive and wanting to give and wanting to show up and wanting to be counted upon and wanting to stay true or to take action on what you know now is where you want your direction to be. So rather than saying, oh, I don't know if I really want to go there, that whatever's there between you and your dream, you and what you're seeding, it's that you would feel a natural current that can actually take you there. And yes, it's definitely hard work. I would just like a, you know, those of us who've been at births, it is hard labor to do some of these things. It's not, oh, just do it and it'll be there. Just, you know, make your intention. It's a combination between, you know, these contractions between no, I don't think I can do it, the resistance, into an opening, a surrender, and to into being carried by a larger current of new life, and then back to, you know, oh, I feel so small. And big has a relationship with small, and I think small is not to be thought of as let's get rid of this part or let's be big and not small. It's like no, small is our vulnerable self, our, you know, open-hearted self, our, you know, small has a lot of, you know, where we can really take care of. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need something. You know, it's like it's big now needs to work with small. It's not one or the other. It's this relationship to that. So when you're talking about big and how we have agreement about that, Karen, I think we're really talking about how we can be big by actually protecting and loving and honoring what is also small and limited in us, so that we can do what we can in a good way without depleting or exhausting, and also, big thing, getting help and support along the way. And at this point, I think doing it collectively, I love to think about it collectively in the beehive together. You know, the sisters kind of in the beehive doing the worker bees, like, okay, what do we need to do? And part of that is, you know, we need to hang out in the flowers and the pollen and the honey, you know. there can be sweetness here for us.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point. There can be sweetness even, right, at the bottom of the stairs. where we're anchoring down, and it's not that easy to anchor down always, but it's necessary. You know, what you're saying is very interesting to me because, first of all, I'm shaking my Yoga Nidra pom-poms here. And I think it's why I fell in love with Yoga Nidra in the first place, which is exactly what you're saying. It really allows you to have give birth to, I love the birth metaphor, obviously for many reasons, not just for writing a play about birth, but it says so much about these times in our lives where sometimes it's a hard labor. And we have contractions and we think we can and we can't, and all of that stuff goes around. And I think with Yoga Nidra, there's always this, something about it where we pair opposites that just bam, resonated with me, like, oh, there's, like you said, big has a relationship to small.
Yeah.
Bam. And once we get that, it's almost like you're free.
Yeah.
And Yoga Nidra doesn't lecture about it. You just lie down and do nothing. That's what I love too. Mm-hmm. But yes. Yeah. So I love all of this, and I felt myself just again with the yes hand going up as you're talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and the doing nothing, you know, that's not the giving up in any way, as you've been hearing. The mm-hmm. doing nothing is sort of seeing what is next in the mystery that is going to arise. So we're not like going to control it. We're just going to see what's happening now. So, you know, in that, in this place, it's just so important for us to not be pulling back and forth between our big and little selves. Like, you know, because that can be like, here you're really going for it and going out big, and then, you know, kind of a collapsing. And then, of course, sometimes when we go to show up big in our lives, as you've probably been running into, there are a lot of internal voices that bring us down, that say we can't do it. And, there's a lot of inner big meaning places in our lives that can be oppressively big, that is taking the innocent, pure love that we want to be and sort of keeping it at bay. So negotiating and navigating through that territory in your psyche, through your dreams, through the collective, through support, through your own finding your way is the journey in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I, you know, this week, this whole month in Women Dream, we are discovering our sankalpas, but women have been saying so much. They're hearing whispers that are both light and dark. What you've just said, you know, they're the, share your gifts with the world, you know, and then on the other side, you know, there's this, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything. Your trauma will always hold you back, things like that. And, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, we live real lives. So, like, in Yoga Nidra, you know, I'll just say that in Yoga Nidra, you know, when the art of this using the sankalpa, we use it and we plant the sankalpa in the subconscious mind. So when you get to the state of being in the subconscious mind, which accepts everything, you know. But of course we have real lives, and subconscious mind means nothing to us when we're in thinking mind,
uh-huh.
which is right now. So, you know, I just love to hear your thoughts on this, on the light and the dark. And I know you're good at being real too. So tell us what holding light and dark means to you, and how can women get there?
Yeah. I might
knowing
go
there's
back.
No prescription for every woman.
I'm going to go backwards a little bit before I go forwards because
yeah,
things were here. But that's a great question. What does the light and the dark mean to me? So backwards right now for me would be, let's go back into the dreams that we were talking about at night. And so maybe you wake up and you have a dream, and let's say that you were in a place, there was a wall in front of you, you couldn't find a door, there was just this wall. And then you could hear somebody on the other side of the wall calling your name. I mean, I'm making this dream up as I'm speaking it. So, you know, like, we'll just take it that far. Okay, we're kind of sort of in the middle of the adventure of the dream. So right now, every single thing that is part of that dream, and in this case, let's just go to the wall. You might look at the wall and you might say, well, what is the wall? What are the things I associate with a wall? Don't go into a book and see what does a wall mean. Go inside of you. You're going to be the best interpreter. What is this wall? How old is it? Have I ever seen it before? How far did it go? What did it look like? How tall was it? And then you want to go right as the wall. Okay, I am the wall. I am the wall for Elisa. Or I am the wall in the dream with Elisa. So, you know, or whatever wall is for you. And then think to yourself, what does the wall, as the wall, here's what I want. And just speak as the wall. Here's what I want. Here's what I'm representing. Here's what I'm wanting. Or I am the voice that was speaking, and here's what I want, and here's what I'm saying, and here's my message, and here's my request. And see, so you can keep exploring any part of a nighttime dream with your waking life to sort of get some deeper stratosphere into the subconscious psyche of what you're holding, because you're this great mystery. You're like a universe unto yourself. So the next part that I wanted to share is that any one of you who say that you want to have something happen, as soon as you say that, your psyche is aware of the risks and the changes and the challenges that might present themselves. So you start to split out. There's a part of you that wants what you want, and it may really feel like that's your higher self. That's your sense of your large self saying, yes, let's go that direction. This is where I want to go. But as soon as you're there, then you also have this split that occurs, the part of you that wants it and the part of you that doesn't. Okay? Mm. And we all have that. I want this a lot. And you might even say, no, you're wrong, Elisa. 100% of me wants this. Somewhere, if you're not arriving there, then you might want to look at the saboteur, because that's where those splits occur. Where, you know, there's the pros and cons to everything. So, you know, you've got some parts holding a different part. And with that, a big part of that is, how risky is it? How risky is it for you to be seen, to take the steps, to take on different roles, to let go of something? I mean, there's so many things that happen that it becomes a little bit daunting. And then you can go into collapse, where sometimes the little can live, of like, I just can't do it, you know. So dealing with where your risks are, some of you may know this and some may not, but for 20-some years I've been involved in a work called shadow work. I've been a certified facilitator of this work, and great, great, powerful work. And it really looks at risk managers internal to us, that say, you know what, I can't let you get hurt ever again. I've been on the job for 24/7 when nobody was there to protect you, and there's no way that you can step out because something from your past might happen again, and I'm not going to let you do that. And when we, when we hear wise advice like, no, I don't think that's a good idea, that's one thing. But that risk manager sometimes turns corrupt because it's really wanting to keep you safe. It doesn't feel like safety, but it becomes corrupt and it keeps on upping the ante at times. And sometimes you'll hear, you know, you just can't do that, or, you know, you're not, you know, I won't let you do that, or who do you think you are to do that? Like, you start to hear, because it's like that wall, different wall than what I was speaking of in the dream, but it's like that wall keeping you from the life that you want, because it is attempting to keep you safe from any consequences that you have had to face or someone you love needed to face way earlier, usually, in your life, and sometimes right here in your life. So light and dark. Back to your question, Karen.
Well, this is very important, what you're saying, because keeping you from taking risks, I mean, if you have a big dream and your risk manager wants to keep you safe in a way that, you know, is now not serving you to have your big dream.
Mm-hmm.
This is big stuff.
Yeah, that's really big stuff. And so you're probably like, okay, well, how do I deal with my risk manager? How we do that in shadow work is we actually honor. We honor the job that this part has been playing. And some of you don't want to honor that part because it just feels like it's been keeping you back and down. And then you're going to really need to listen to that part. Like, what are you afraid of for me? What are you attempting for me not to experience in my larger life that you're protecting me from? But it doesn't feel like protection anymore. Sometimes it feels like a jail that you're in, and it feels like a loop or a pattern that just continues to keep you back where you are. So just like a plant, when you grow it and you seed it, it's going to need things. It needs needs nurturing. It needs maintenance, water. It needs sunlight. It needs time. So, you know, some of these things may take a lifetime to achieve what you've just planted during this time cycle. And some things are more immediate where, you know, something's going to happen. It's going to be like the bamboo plant after a number of years and just grow. Or kind of like the material in the horns or antlers. It's like the fastest growing cartilage structure on a buck that's growing. Sometimes it's very speedy. But however that is, coming into the place where you honor where you are right now, and then there's some negotiation that takes place between you and that part in you that is maybe not wanting you to take that step. Because when you just go forward anyhow, you find some sabotaging happening. Oh, you know, you get sleepy, you get foggy, you get, oh, maybe we'll just give it up. Addictions can start to come in here. Distractions, making other people more important than you. I mean, it's just full. The field is full of things that can happen when we're on the path. So from here, really knowing that you can take the risk, that you're ready to take the risk. Because likely, by not taking the risk, some of the things you'll hear, you know, like, well, you can't, like, let's just do a simple one. I can't let you take that risk because you'll be judged. And so you don't take the risk because you're afraid of being judged. But then you find in your life that you're already being judged. So many things that we're not taking the risk about because of the fears, we're already in some of those very same things. So since you are, maybe it's okay to be brave enough or to pull on courage. And courage, by the way, is the root of it is cori in Latin, courage, which means heart. So it's really taking heart. So you're ready to take heart, to take courage, to take a step even with perhaps some of the risks that are there and maybe even with running into some old material that's been here in your life from your past that maybe now is time and you're ready to crack that seed that you've planted to go through and rot in that rising. But you know, just like I said, you go down to go up, what's the seed doing? It's putting the roots down. You know, that's the staircase down, right? You're putting the roots down in order to rise.
Yes. Okay, really nice distinction. Thank you for that. And I think everyone who's listening, you know, we can relate to what you're saying. And in particular, if your big dream isn't manifesting, this is really important to look at, this whole how your risk manager is sabotaging things and, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening. How to honor where you're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, that part of you developed because no one was there likely to really keep you safe. And it's like, you know, it's like an old, I think it was a movie like WALL-E or something, like a machine that just never stopped going. Like, it's going right into your future. It doesn't know yet that you can handle more than maybe you could when you were a small child. So it's still, you know, it's still on track to keep you safe no matter what. And so that means stopping you, even if it's hiding you. And that's I'm writing my first book right now. And I'm really writing about how our survival as women has been very key for many of us to hide and just to remain small. And that was a way of surviving through the eons. And now we can't afford that kind of survival anymore. We know that that kind of survival actually will lead to our extinction as people. So now is a time for women very, very much to come out in mass, out of hiding. But it requires a different skill set from us, and it requires us to be willing to be seen and to maybe face some real true consequences and risks by that. But it's, you know, it's been set in us to hide and to stay small as a way of surviving, and so that our children would survive. So, you know, this getting big and getting out there, it's like so amazing that we are the women right now that have this task in our lives to be true and to show up to this, you know, what is calling us out right now. Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Absolutely. And let me just remind people who are listening live with us, you can press *2 to ask Alisa a question. And you can also, if you're listening on the web, I know there's lots of people on the web as well, you can listen and look just below where you're listening and see a Q&A box. You can pop a question in and I can read it to Alisa because mm-hmm. she's here for you. This is really, Alisa's giving us a gift today to be here, and it would be wonderful to hear from you as well. So *2 if you want to ask Alisa a question, or just ask it in the Q&A box and I'll read it. So great. So holding light and dark, I mean, you've touched on this so much. So, what does it mean to you? Is there anything else you want to say around this? Are there pieces that
I'm thinking of a child. I never recorded this, but I'm thinking, this is crazy. Okay, so I've spent some years as a shadow work facilitator and many years now looking at the dual natures, the paradoxes, the ways that that for me it isn't about just loving ourselves through what is what we perceive and think of as our juicy selves, our good selves, our whole selves. You know, it's the embracing of all of ourselves, all of our many parts, all of our emotional states. It's exploring what it's like to love what we don't think is beautiful in us. And for me, the power of our transformation and our work here in transformation comes from our ability to be with what we also struggle with inside, and finding ultimately compassion and a way to hold the broken bits so that we can actually be more whole. So from here, we can go to the dreams, and most of us are sleeping when it is dark. So isn't it kind of amazing that in the day we have all this consciousness, and the night we have all this unconsciousness, and they belong together. And we're not actually able to stay awake and awake and awake. We need to go into the dark and in the places where things that we haven't been saying or haven't been speaking or holding our shame or our anxieties have a chance to settle and reveal themselves through our dreams. So this is the crazy part, because I could really, I mean, with 20 years some with shadow work, there's so many profound things I could say.
I know.
I'm hearing, and there's even a song that I wrote that could really help with the unlovable parts, but what I'm actually hearing is a song that I wrote for children that I never recorded, and I want to sing it to you. Because
beautiful.
I think it goes with dreams, and it also goes with the dark and the light, and it goes with some of the fears. So this is to the children in us, and my song goes like this, with my scratchy throat. The dark is like a big cozy blanket wrapped around the earth at night. The stars come out, the moon comes out. The sun goes down, the moon comes up, and all around is starlight. Close your eyes and cuddle up in the arms of one who loves you. It's time to sleep, it's time to dream. Magic into morning, dream magic, magic. Dream magic into morning. Dream magic, magic. Dream magic into morning.
Elisa. I have tears in my eyes. Thank you for that. Dream magic into morning. Wow. That says a lot.
You know, and in some ways, we are at that place. We are at the precipice of the darkest time. And
yeah,
I'm not even speaking about winter. I'm speaking about life and us being the women alive at this time. And it is very dark. And yet, from it, there is a sunlight, there is a dawning, there is a morning. And that morning is moving collectively through all of our hearts. And what you've planted in it may feel so personal to you, but it's important to me and to all of this life around you for you to truly come into who you are and the truth of who you are and all the courage and the heart and taking heart and all the risks and all the facing of the dark from behind you and in you and around you and all the light that you can muster that you were born with until we begin to see something emerging, and we don't know yet what it is, and we don't even know in the hopelessness and the despair whether it's possible, but we do know we're needed, and that is the dream that we're dreaming right now, and we're not alone in that dream, and we're waking up to that dream.
We know we're needed. Yeah, I think, you know, everyone who is a part of Bold Tranquility has that deep feeling, and I think that our in our world, if we're not feeling it, we just haven't been awake enough to feel. Thank you for that. I really that woke me up. But you know, there's so much you're saying here that feels like a gift. A gift to women, and important, super important. And again, you know, I'm always shaking my yoga nidra pom-poms when I hear certain things people say. And when you say what you're saying, it's interesting because yoga nidra has been used a lot with people who have experienced trauma. Richard Miller, who started Iris Yoga Nidra, he actually loves to talk about yoga nidra as an opportunity to have tea and conversation with your messengers. And all of this of what you're saying, really, this power to be with what we struggle with, right? And people who have experienced trauma, you know, feel that struggle so deeply. And in some sense, it could be this really frightening invitation to have tea and conversation with your messengers, you know? Yet studies are showing, the highest level studies of yoga nidra show that, you know, they're actually with war veterans and who have had PTSD and feel great healing from having that tea and conversation with their messengers. So I really want to talk more about trauma because I know trauma personally, and I have heard from so many women in our Bold Tranquility community who are so desperate to heal from trauma, to release trauma's hold on their big dream. So can you talk about trauma's hold on our dreams and how we release?
Yeah. Well, that's a big place.
And yes, I mean, write another book.
Yeah,
and probably in your book.
It is. Yeah,
yeah.
There's images going through right now. Just to kind of again go back a little bit to go forward. There's images coming through, and they're from a story I was told a long time ago. And what I'm just wanting to say right now is that it's important for us not to be what I would call the waking dead. Right? It's important for us not to be going through our lives as here, but not really here. And who knows you're awake? If you go when you're marketing and getting your food and you see that little baby in the woman's arms or that little child, and they look over to you and you're looking at them and they sense your awakeness. They really do. Like when you're not in a waking dead, like just moving as things move, a cog machine, like when you're really alive, they're our best mirror because they can sense, they give us feedback so fast of how alive we are inside of ourselves. And is that resonating for you?
Oh, Karen? It resonates. Again, hand held high. It's the yes hand.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking a lot about actually why it's almost, you know, my boy's getting older, wanting to have another, I don't want to have another baby, but, you know, that being around babies can be addictive because they do sense your awakeness, and wow, can that take you out of this waking dead state?
Yeah. So here in that place, that's just a place for you because you know babies are that full consciousness, which we are too, but we've kind of forgotten. So they're like masterful, and then the trauma piece. Trauma is everything here. I mean, the birch tree that one night when it froze solid with ice and I was out there, literally out there wanting to pull it back up again, you know, taking it because I knew, like, will it ever rise again? Will it be broken? And every day it gets a little bit higher from the bent over place that it's been in. So everything here, in order to live, is going through stress points and trauma. And yet at the same time, getting stuck in trauma is, or feeling like there's no hope, there's some places where we need to keep looking towards what is guiding us, what is healthy, because it's easy when we've been in trauma to treat ourselves, maybe continue to treat ourselves in a way that trauma gets exasperated. So again, I would say, things that have to do with our own addictions, our own anxieties that are not addressed, places that we're living without support, refusal to sometimes ask for help, places where we haven't been brave enough maybe to look back through our past and see what we can resolve inside of ourselves. So trauma is, we have so... many tools now, so many avenues for clearing, for doing kind of like spiritual hygiene, for clearing away heavy burdens that can be lifted from our hearts. But we've got to also come into new ways of thinking about ourselves, because if we think about ourselves continuously in a place where, you know, our sadness and our fear is in a way sapping us, and it's moving ourselves towards anything in the beauty of the dream, anything where we can feel alive and we can feel the beauty and we can feel that gratitude and we can feel the miracle, even in the war zones of our lives, when we can start to source, like just looking at your hand again, going, wow, that is, putting your hand on your heart, listen to this heartbeat. I don't know how it's beating. I don't know how I'm breathing. But that's a gift. That's a miracle. And the trauma pieces begin to resolve with circles of support and companionship to know we're not alone, and tools that are here. Shadow work is certainly a tool. And so there's so much that can be said about that. But the most thing is, even if you're in the dark tunnel, please put your eyes in the dream towards the light that is at the end of that tunnel and move towards it. Move towards it.
Move towards the light. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I also feel that when we move towards the light and then we're disappointed again, that we're afraid oftentimes that we'll be betrayed by our hope. And so you need to navigate in yourself that, yes, the betrayal may be there for the hope that you carry, but we need to insist anyhow in whatever is our healing. So there's mountains and valleys and setbacks and moving forward. But even with the I cannot hope again, I'm going to just ask that this is our job, this is our work here, to continue even via the heartbreak, to continue to walk our walk.
Yes. Having lived in many countries in, you know, I lived in Africa and Kenya and Tanzania. You know, when you talk about hope, I always think about those cultures and a lot of vulnerable communities there that without hope, you know, they could feel pretty betrayed and stuck in trauma. But a lot of people, you know, shift and they are following big dreams because of, you know, this ability to hope and insist.
Yeah, you know, and so many women in Africa, they don't see us as a victim. You know, that's where empowerment lies in at least every day, being able to really take up, this is our lives, these are our choices, this is our walk, this is our love prevailing through whatever is in front of us.
Well, this has all been wonderful, and I know there's a woman in Vancouver, Grace, who just wrote in, yes, beautiful, timely words for me. Thank you. So, you know, I hope that everyone's really hearing these words, because as you said, this is important. This is, you know, we are now in this, stepping in to this place in our world, in our lives, where women need to dream big. Mm-hmm. We need to be big. Mm-hmm. We need this. And,
yeah. Karen, I know that sometimes we've talked about how people can be quiet, and I just wonder on your switchboard, if you just took us all off so that we were in, that we were together, and we could just make one sound of resonance. So if what is here, because I think sometimes we have these conversations, you and I, and then someone's kind of like, oh yeah, but we forget that we're in this collective dream. So in this collective dream, we could just take a second of taking us off the mode that we're in, and everyone just making a sound, like a tone. I can start that tone just to sort of say, well, I didn't ask a question or I didn't make a comment, but I'm here in this, and I'm here in this dream. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those on the call, I'm just going to say, because I know we have a lot of moms that listen to the call, and they mute it, and they have, if you can unmute your phone, I'm going to unmute everybody so we can hear our voices. And I know there's actually even more people on the web. There's about three people on the web.
Yeah, you just make comments. Like, I'm here, and this is my dream.
Exactly. And you can type in a howl on the Q&A, and we'll hear you. Mm-hmm. How about that? So we have some howls coming in from all over.
Yeah, so this time, instead of a howl, we're going to make a nice hum, like, and I'll start it. So ready?
Okay, here we ready? Go. One more time. Sorry, I didn't unmute you until a minute ago. So
okay,
let's do it again.
Go.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, everyone.
Shout out hello.
He's learning technology.
You know, yes, I'm putting everyone on hold, and actually then you're starting to hear music. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm a little loose on the controls here. Today I held
Break
everyone,
free.
which piped in music, not your hum. So, but the second time they heard you. Okay. That's, our motto here is chucking perfect. Jill in Vancouver, yes, we hear your hum. Zoe, we hear your hum. Grace, we hear your hum. Yes, we're hearing all the hums. Yes, there's even more coming through. So beautiful. We are together.
And there it is right there. Karen taking the risk that rather than having it, you know, be exactly right, we enter the mystery. We don't know how it's going to happen. You know, it goes a little funky. We could start to go, oh, well, maybe that didn't, you know, like, but it's like we went for it. And that's the great experiment. And that's how it goes. leaning into something we're not quite sure. A little chaos.
Yeah,
but you know, we're collectively, there we are.
Yeah,
thank
beautiful
you, Karen,
example.
For being willing.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Oh, Lisa, thank you so much, because that was a great example of just going for it no matter what. Why not? Mm-hmm. That's my new word of 2015. Why not? So if following your big dream had a mantra, what would it be? What would it be?
Are you asking that to everybody?
I'm asking that to you, but I want everybody to think of that mantra for them. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I am in a mantra right now, and it's interesting that you would say I'm in a mantra that's simple right now. And for me, that mantra that I'm in right now, I mean, it's, you know, ask me next week and it might be different. But right now, mine is step by step, breath by breath. Step by step, breath by breath.
Well, I honor your mantra, and I do encourage everyone to really think what resonates for you as your, you know, that big dream mantra for you. Beautiful. Thank you, Elisa. Any final thoughts that you feel like you're burning to share?
I'm just grateful for the way that we know from inside of ourselves where to go, that you're doing this work, that I'm able now to say after 3 decades, I'm here too with you, burning my lighthouse, and I'm just grateful to be together. Thank you, Karen, for everything that you are envisioning and holding, and for the women who are journeying. Blessings.
Many thanks. Many thanks and deep bow. It's been a pleasure, a dream this last hour. And if any of you really want to know more about Elisa's work, you can go to elisastarkweather.com. So if you're craving to set an intention for your big dream, I just want to remind you that we're using Yoga Nidra, we're using the Art of Sankalpa, and you can still join us this entire month of January to dream big. Just sign up by clicking on the Sign Up for Free buttons on our website, or you can email us. It's hello@boldtranquility.com. This is our moment. This is our moment. You know, I love when you say, Elisa, you know, this is the rising of the sacred feminine right now, you know, and this is our moment. The world is literally rumbling. I can feel it. It's frightening. It's also liberating. Let's keep dreaming big, and let's keep holding that torch in whatever way is right for you. So thank you again, Elisa, so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate your presence. And to all the women who wish to stay on for a 20-minute Bold Tranquility Yoga Nidra session, I will ring a bell now, and then we'll take a 5-minute bathroom set up for Yoga Nidra break, and then we'll return to sleep together, to rest, to arrive deeper into our commitment to our big dream. I will stay on the call for a while after Yoga Nidra, this being the last day of many women who are part of Women Dream. So if you have questions or want to chat with me about your big dream, you can do that then. Thank you for being here today, all of you, Elisa and all. The dream is on. That's what I want to say. The dream is on. Here's to the well-rested woman, dreaming big. Be good to yourselves, everyone. Please be good to yourselves.